This is Lanza Radio Network Pasadena, streaming live at lanzaradionetwork.org.
Welcome to The Last Second with Brian Ng, your place for sports in Los Angeles. We have a very special guest joining us today to talk about his start in broadcasting and the state of the Dodgers season in the time of COVID-19. Joe Davis, the play-by-play announcer for the Dodgers, started with the team in 2016 and has quickly become the voice of the Dodgers for a new generation of baseball fans, taking over from the legendary Vin Scully. Just 27 when he got the call from the Dodgers, you can also hear him on national baseball games and football games on Fox and FS1. This is Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena, streaming live at lanceradionetwork.org. Joe, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, happy to, Brian.
I just wanted to start off, just touch base about your start in broadcasting. And was it always something that you dreamed about growing up? What were kind of the goals that you had, and when did this come about?
Yeah, I think that I've, as early as I had thoughts of wanting to be something when I grow up, I've known that it's what I wanted to do. And it's okay if that doesn't happen for you and whatever it is you wind up going into. But I think if you can figure out at an early age what you do want to do, it can be a big advantage. So before I even knew that I was really training to do it, I probably was training just by listening to guys and gals announce games that, just by osmosis was picking things up. And then when I got into the high school stage and into college, it really guided my decision-making of choosing where to go and choosing how to spend my time once I got there. But that's a long answer to say, yeah, I've always known this is what I want to do.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So since you knew so early, what were some of the things that you were doing to prepare, whether it was when you're in college, like your major or internships or just things that you were doing on your own to prepare for a career in this?
Yeah, I've always studied the industry, whether that's studying, the job movements and the way that people get jobs, or just studying guys calling the games, listening and picking things up from them. So I've always tried to do that. Then when I got into college, I did just everything I could possibly think of to get hands-on reps. And it didn't matter if anybody was listening or not. The fact that I was doing it was important. And I just tried to be creatively aggressive, finding those opportunities for myself, because every single rep I knew was an opportunity to get better. And obviously networking is a big thing too. So worked hard at that when I got into college as well.
Yeah. So, doing some research, I saw that it seemed like your first big job was, you were only 22 when you got hired as a Rays affiliate in Montgomery. What led to that, or how did you get that job?
Yeah. So the summer before my senior year at Beloit, and I graduated in 3.5 years. So the summer before my senior semester at Beloit, I did a season of independent ball with the Schaumburg Flyers. Mm. And the tape that I got from that was a completely unpaid position, but I was announcing the games. I was the lead guy. It was amazing. The tape that I got from that allowed me to get the Montgomery job. And you're right in calling it a big break. Some people may look and see, well, minor league baseball, Montgomery Biscuits, that can't be that big of a deal. But there were 140 people that applied for that job. It's really hard to get those jobs. So to have a relatively high-level, well-run minor league franchise willing to take a chance on a young guy, that was a huge thing that kind of provided the springboard for everything that's come since.
Yeah, that seemed to be a kind of a theme that has run through your career. I saw that at 25, you were the youngest person to ever call a college football bowl game for ESPN. And then you landed the Dodgers gig at 27. Like, what have been some of the challenges as a younger broadcaster kind of stepping into these roles?
Yeah, I think that you probably have to be – well, there's a couple ways to look at it. You have to be more perfect, because people are going to be more skeptical the younger you are. But at the same time, you have to fight that urge to try to be perfect, because I don't think that that's the way to people don't want to listen to that. They don't want to listen to a robot. So those kind of like dueling thoughts, very similar thoughts, but it creates kind of a challenge.
Wow. Such a young, like I said, you're a young broadcaster. You seem to have accomplished so much already. And a lot of people would say like landing the Dodgers gig is like a dream job. What are your future goals? Like what do you look forward to? Like what's next for you?
Yeah. So I had said, like, I've always wanted to do the national stuff, and I was doing the national stuff before I got the Dodger job, not really looking to get with a team necessarily. I always said, like, yeah, I'm not going to say no. It would have to be the perfect situation. And this was, it was the kind of thing that I couldn't say no to, but the opportunity to be the guy to follow the greatest ever to do it. And that context and that responsibility is a large reason why it was so special and something I couldn't say no to. I still want to keep doing all the national stuff. But had you asked me 5 years ago that question, I would have probably said, yeah, do this Dodger thing a little while and keep doing the national thing. I want to keep doing the national thing. I want to keep getting better and better at that and hopefully getting better and better opportunities as the years go on. But I, at this point, can't picture my career without the Dodger job. I've loved it that much.
That's awesome. When taking over from such a legendary broadcaster, I'm sure it had some challenges. Did you encounter a lot of criticism or a lot of negativity when you took over?
People have been amazing, Brian, really. It's like, I think there are two things. And of course, you always are going to have your critics. Right? You could call what you feel like is the perfect game, and you're going to have people that didn't like the way you sounded calling. The team's been really good. So I've been delivering good news. If the team had lost 100 games a year in my 3 seasons, I might be run out of town by now. So that's one of the big things. And then the other big thing is my relationship with Orr Hershiser. He's one of my best friends in the entire world, and this would not be going the way that it is without him. But I think those two things combined with people just being so gracious and understanding that I'm not trying to replace Ben, and I think people hopefully appreciated that I'm not trying to replace him. I'm just trying to carry the torch and pick up the responsibility of following him. And people have been very understanding and have welcomed me.
Okay. We need to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere because you want to hear what Joe has to say about the potential start for a Dodger season in light of COVID-19.
What's up? It's Jay Robles from Lancer Radio. Want to know why I like Pasadena City College? I like PCC because everyone is super friendly and kind, and the campus itself has great vibes. PCC is where you want to be next semester. We are always welcoming new Lancers.
Welcome back to The Last Second with Brian Ng, only on Lancer Radio Network Pasadena, streaming live at lancerradionetwork.org. If you're just joining us, we're here with Dodgers play-by-play announcer Joe Davis. Joe, I just wanted to switch things up a little bit and talk a little bit about the current situation and things that are going on. And so just like for you, how are you and your family holding up during quarantine, and how have you been filling your days?
Yeah, so it's an amazing chance to have bonus family time and time that, God willing, I'm never going to have again. We're not going to go through something like this again where I'm going to be around this much. It's been amazing. But at the same time, we're going a little bit insane, not having any breaks from the kids. And I have a whole new level of appreciation for my wife, who does this on a full-time basis, year-round, no matter what's going on in the world. There's a little bit of insanity going on there, not getting breaks from the kids, but loving the chance to – a chance to be home every night and be with my family every night that I've never had before and will never have again.
Awesome. Awesome. So the big question on all the Dodgers fans' minds is, do you think the Dodgers will play a season this year?
I've felt more optimistic the last few days about it as Governor Newsom seemingly shifted a little bit and said, okay, pro sports can be played here beginning in June, which would line up with the calendar that Major League Baseball's talking about. There still seem to be a lot of hurdles just with the nature of the virus, and starting the season is one thing, finishing the season is another. And you have the hurdle at this point of the players' union against Major League Baseball, trying to figure out the economics of the whole thing. So there's still a lot of hurdles, but I think the encouraging thing is that all the parties are very motivated to play, and hopefully that drives it to a point where safely, we can do it.
Yeah, it seems like, the at least parts of the MLB plan have kind of been released or leaked out. Some of the social distancing practices that they're planning on putting in place seem pretty stringent or maybe even unrealistic. How possible do you think it really is for the players and the teams to kind of follow all of those things?
Yeah, it's think about the stuff like spitting and sunflowers, stuff you do without even thinking. So I don't know. Remember, it's just a proposal at this point. And the players are going to be able to go back and say, look, this, and this. We get the thought, but it's just not possible. So there's going to be some negotiation on that. We'll see what the final document looks like. But either way, the 2020 season is not going to look anything like we've ever seen. Everything from the 80 games to managers wearing masks to nobody in the stands, it's going to be a different beast this year.
Yeah. I know because of the podcast, you've definitely at least been talking to Doc every week and some of the players. What do you know is the team doing to kind of stay in shape, stay ready for the potential start of the season?
Everybody kind of has their own thing going, and there is no blueprint for how to handle this. And the hard thing has been the moving target to it all. Until recently, this early July thing, we didn't have that. So no, especially for pitchers and keeping their arms fresh and building their arms up, it's been a really hard thing with the moving target. I think that they're with the momentum towards early July, I think there's probably a little more going on. Some states are opening up more. Not everybody is in Los Angeles. More guys probably are outside Los Angeles than are here. There are a lot of guys in Phoenix who are able to go to the facility at this point. That's been opened up. So it's gearing up a little bit more, but everybody's kind of been doing their own thing thus far.
And so you as a broadcaster, what kind of things do you have to do, or what have you been doing to stay in shape, quote unquote, for the season?
I was pretty much ready to go with my prep for the season for the individual players and the teams within the division. Once everything got shut down and we didn't know what the schedule was going to look like, it didn't make much sense for me to prep other teams because I didn't know if we were going to play them. So I keep up on everything, read any articles that look important, links that look important on a given day, updating the state of things. But I've just kind of used it as an opportunity to slow down and turn that side of my brain off a little bit and read some books and be home.
That sounds awesome. Awesome. So what are you looking more forward to the most about a potential start of the season?
I think just as a sports fan, more than anything, having games, baseball games and hopefully basketball and hockey and football games eventually too, as something to look forward to each day. I think that we all know how much we love sports, but it's a great reminder of how big a part of our lives they are when they're not there. It's just this huge void. So having that void filled, the emotions that come with being a fan and come with watching a game. And I think the thing that I'm most looking forward to is farther down the line, and that is when stadiums are full again and that roar of the crowd.
For sure. For sure. I know that's what we're all looking forward to, is being in the crowd again. And I just wanted to do a last closing, like quick lightning round. You can just answer these questions real fast. Favorite restaurant in the LA area?
Ooh, Scopa Italian Roots.
Ooh, nice. Okay. You can only choose one: wine, beer, or a cocktail.
Old fashioned.
All right. What's your favorite thing to grill?
Brisket.
And what's one thing you love about South Pasadena?
Feels like home for us. We're all from the Midwest, and it has some of that Midwest feel to it.
All right. Well, Joe, thank you for joining us. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to follow Joe on Twitter at @Joe_Davis and on Instagram at @JoeDavisPXP. Don't forget to subscribe to his podcast Off Air, which he does with Oral Hershiser at Dodgers.com/podcast. To hear more about the current state of the Dodgers season and the players, and to get some good cooking tips and movie and TV recs from Joe and Oral. Thanks for listening to The Last Second. I'm your host, Brian Ng, coming to you from Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena Campus Sounds, streaming live 24/7 from the beautiful campus of Pasadena City College, LancerRadioNetwork.org. Follow us on Instagram at Lancer Radio Network.
This is Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena, streaming live at LancerRadioNetwork.org.